Yeah,
That's fun.
tell me about that. I think you mentioned a little earlier how you were had been part of a church that was really big into dispensationalism, end times, you know, all of this stuff, prophecy. What was that like? What would you like to share on that?
Yeah. As I told you, I think the main framework in our churches are the Calvinistic view of to look at the world from a sovereign God and the matters of how you come to faith in Christ and how you be justified. So these are, for me, Protestants / Reformed teaching. But gradually I find there's also dispensationalism going in that doctrine. So I'm not very sure and how far they are dispensationalist or how far reformers. So it's mixed up for me. So I felt people who are talking about to look to Israel is just very different than the church. So I think the main thing in dispensation is to look to Israel just as separated group of people. They call them apple eye of God. Mm-hmm. So they make very distinction between the church and Israel. And I think that makes a lot of damage to how you live as a Christian. So for example, it will affect what has Jesus taught in Sermon on the Mount. More than that, if I see many people, many Christians who are very loyal to state of Israel, and I stand behind Israel and the flags and it's kind of things. And I think, well, if I don't think you can have both. You can't be for the people of God, Israel, and to love your enemy. You can't practice both things, because you should kill Hamas. You should kill. You should. I have seen people mocking with Iranian government and the officials, and saying the wrong things about terrorism. I don't justify what they are doing. I'm only saying I don't think it's a good approach of a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with Word of Christ. We are supposed to love our enemy. So I can't bring them both. And this has been for me very stumbling block to be a part of, you know, to have that approach. And then Sunday you are breaking the bread with people who are actually practicing hate and revenge to your enemy.
That's a really good point, because if we're holding to values of, you know, two kingdoms, separation from the world, but then we get all fixated, wrapped up in this nation, that seems like that gets complicated really fast. So that would have been some of your experience with this other church you had been a part of, right? Where you had to wrestle through some of that.
And that's been answer for my question when we have in this room prayer meetings on Tuesday or Thursday. So we have people are praying, and some people want to pray specifically for Israel and for the politics. You know, we are called to pray for governments. We don't deny that. We do that, and we try to do that. But I felt always kind of moving politics through Christian politics. So I couldn't reconcile two things. So I felt that I thought to myself, why am I uncomfortable with this prayer request and the way they speak and the way. So yeah, today it makes sense for me, and it gave me answer why I was struggling a lot for in these areas. So
Yes, that's definitely part of the journey then for you as you're working through these and learning these things and saying, well, I should think about this if I'm saying, love your enemies, not involved in politics or the world's system of power, I think is a better way of saying it. And yet when it comes to Israel, yeah, for some reason, that with dispensationalism, that gets all mixed together, yes, you know, very quickly, mm-hmm, and it gets complicated.
Yeah. I'm not the expert to talk about it, but yeah.
But still, that's interesting to me that you picked up on that and say, you know, ooh, I need to, you know, let's stop and think here, mm-hmm, and is this something that I really, mm-hmm, am okay with? Because Jesus says, love your enemies.
Yeah.
That's powerful. That's, mm-hmm, that's a difficult one. And I think also, too, as we're recording this, and I'm not sure when this will come out, but right now that war is really escalating.
Yeah,
it's getting a lot worse.
Yeah.
And so if anything, these things, you know, Christians around the world will be saying about the war on whichever side is probably only going to get, mm-hmm, even more extreme. Mm-hmm. I think having that perspective, that's interesting that you worked through that and encountered that. I always think of these ideas as more of a distinctly American phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And here you were having that in some of your early church experiences here in the Netherlands, mm-hmm, as well. That's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it is. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there more you'd like to share on that or something else?
Yeah. No. I think that,
that's an important piece. Yeah. That's a hard one. There's probably going to be some comments, you know, from people saying, "Oh, we don't like that you said that," or "We disagree with this."
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the big pieces to keep in mind, that this is difficult. I mean, Jesus says, "Love your enemies." That's not really easy. Yeah. That's we understand it. It's simple. Love everyone, but you know, we're humans, and humans. Yeah. Sometimes we don't want to actually, mm-hmm, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, I heard people, you can't say I love God without loving Israel.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Did they mean like the nation itself? Or
you can't say don't. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I would say you can't say I love Christ without doing what Christ have said.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's, So
I heard this statement a lot. Mm-hmm. You can't say to me, I love God without loving the Jewish nation and Israel nation. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you must hate them, but.
Right. And I think I make that very clear on this. You know, this is about specifying. Jesus says to love all, like including your enemies.
Yeah.
You know, and so to try to take sides in these things, are we breaking that commandment that Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Are we actually loving everyone in that scenario? And it's a lot to think about.
Yeah,
you know,
I was studying through the historic faith about I don't remember what was the topic, but when the Maccabean movement, you know, what's happened to Israel, etc. Mm. And when Jesus came, it was a very hard time. Mm. So everyone expect Jesus to be a king who will defend his state, but he didn't do that.
Yeah. They tried to make him king, and Jesus had every opportunity, if you read through the Gospels, to become a politician.
Yes.
I mean, the people wanted him in power, and you know, let's bring you into Jerusalem and cry Hosanna, and you know, here's the Messiah, the King.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Over and over and over, he denies the temptation, I guess you could say, of power, which is actually one of the temptations Satan uses right at the beginning of Jesus' story.
I will give you all authority and all.
you can have these kingdoms, all this political power you can have, and Jesus is like, no, Satan, you totally misunderstand why I'm even here. You know, I'm not here for political power. And yet it's ironic that oftentimes the church is now the one trying to seize that power for themselves or push it a certain way, et cetera. Again, that's intriguing to me that you notice that sounds like pretty early in your Christian faith, you know, where you're like, I don't think this is what Jesus wants me to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.